call the meeting to order. I'm going to call on board member Greg Gustey to lead the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So I wanted to introduce board members, and then I'll ask our executive director to introduce staff. To my left is Jeff Hales from Eureka, California. On the far side of the table, to my immediate left and vice chair is David Norn from Sebastopol. I'm John Corbett from McKinleyville. To my immediate right is Bill Massey from Forestville. And to my far right is Greg Gustey from Ukiah. And I'll call on Matt St. John to introduce staff.
Good morning, Chairman Corbett and members of the board. My name is Matt St. John, Executive Officer. To my right is David Leland, Assistant Executive Officer. To my far right is Nate Jacobson, Staff Counsel, and staff that will be presenting to you will introduce themselves.
And then I believe I have a request from the State Board Rep to speak first, and so I'll take you before public comment. Are you sure? Okay. Thank you. Before we move on to the public forum, ex parte communications by board members.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Since our last meeting, I have met with state, local, and federal officials regarding Western Sonoma County sewers.
Any other board members? I had a meeting with Gary Reinerson, very generic, discussing concerns the industry had on whether they would have to pay for the cleanup. I, of course, was non-committal, but I did say we had to have a solution in Elk and Freshwater that took care of the residents. I wanted them to volunteer one.
Yeah. To inform everyone, I met with residents since our last meeting. I met with residents in the impacted part of Elk River, had a tour of three properties while I was there. That same day, I met with representatives of Humboldt Redwood Company and toured their properties. And then last week, I met with representatives of Green Diamond and had a tour of their properties in the upper watershed as well, to discuss many of the things we covered yesterday.
And lastly, Mr. Chair, I also had discussions with representatives of Humboldt Redwood Company and Green Diamond Redwood Company about the TMDL process and procedure.
Thank you very much. With that, we will I believe the State Board liaison is next.
Okay. Yep.
So Stephen Moore from the State Board, who's been quite a champion of actually attending our meetings as the liaison, and so I want to keep complimenting him on that. It makes the system work really well. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Stephen Moore, board member of the State Water Resources Control Board, and a privileged State Board member to be the liaison to the Great North Coast region. So there's a lot going on in Sacramento. Let's see, I'm gonna back up the mic a little bit, testing. Okay. So thank you for inviting me to the workshop yesterday. I thought it was very useful to hear from folks from all perspectives, and I thought, I just want to compliment the board on that effort yesterday about the Elk River TMDL. And as with all my liaison reports, I'm organized according to, I'll first go over some budget issues, and then recent activities completed, upcoming activities, and then finish up with legislation. Now this is the time of year that the budget's a little bit more of interest, and I actually gave a report to you in January about a pretty remarkable proposed governor's budget with respect to the water boards in terms of a lot of diversity and, let's say, investment in the water board system to address a lot of issues of statewide importance. Those proposed changes, budget changes, continue to be in the governor's proposal. And we haven't reached the point, to my knowledge, of the May revise, but we're on the brink of that. And there's a lot of active discussions about it, but not any significant changes from what's been proposed. And I'll go over some of that in the legislation section, because that's part of a trailer bill exercise, a budget trailer bill exercise. It's very complex this year. But it does involve additional positions, so I'll get into that. One interesting conversation that board members would probably like to know about is the governor's office has proposed increases in compensation for regional board members. And now it's a back and forth between finance and the governor's office. But so there is hope for my colleagues up here. I hesitate to put numbers out there, but it would be as much as five times as much. So 500 instead of 100 is what the governor's proposed on your behalf.
I appreciate it because it was really set in 1970 and frozen thereafter, so probably after 44 years it's warranted. But.
Yeah.
Is there any discussion of retro?
I think the governor wanted to maintain a surplus in the budget.
I don't know if we want to push it too hard, but because finance has already pushed back on that. A five-fold increase. Well, you're like Chair Corbett said, that was 44 years ago when it was started. So anyway, so that's on being discussed. So we'll leave it at that. And I'll come back to some of the position amounts because that'll be my wrap up. So recent activities. We'll just say real quickly, we're really happy that we adopted the statewide permit, MPDS permit for discharge from industrial sites on April 1st. No fools, no April fools. And it's been a long process and everyone's been very patient, but we feel like it's much better organization in dealing with the businesses and industries of the state. A lot more operational based on experience. And also that was a 1997 permit that was updated. So there were a lot of outdated issues that were addressed. Underway as part of the drought package of issues, we're working on a statewide recycled water permit and have presented to Water Reuse Association and others about just making it a little more streamlined for folks like farmers who aren't able to get their normal water supplies this year to be able to use wastewater that's recycled to tertiary or appropriate Title 22 standards for irrigation. This permit that's under draft, there's a draft on the streets now in terms of responding to the drought. We made this a priority. And it's modeled after a Region 2, San Francisco Bay Region, general order that was adopted in 1996. And so it's been in play for almost 20 years, and it's worked very well in terms of many of the famous wineries from the Napa Valley and Sonoma Valley are irrigated with treated wastewater, some of the highest levels, that are on the shelves in terms of the quality of wine. So we have a long track record of successfully using recycled wastewater in the Bay Area, and that type of regulatory tool can be useful on a statewide level to help with the drought. And so that's my experience. Actually, I got to be honest, I worked on that order when I was staff at Region 2. So I'm fairly proud of it personally because it's just been a really great success in terms of getting recycled water used and proving its safety and efficiency, and the data prove that out. Now, it's been real active in Sacramento these days. New things are being discussed. When it comes to groundwater, the governor's office held two all-day hearings on groundwater management issues in March and then again on April 16th, focusing on the question that came out of the governor's water action plan that I've briefed you on, answering the question, what tools and authorities do local and regional entities need to do a better job of managing groundwater resources. hasn't been an issue of, as acute in the North Coast region as some other regions of the state. But it's something that's hovering over all of us because there are areas of the state now that are suffering from groundwater overdraft, unsustainable practices that 10, 15 years ago, it wasn't even on the radar screen. So, you know, there but for the grace of God goes the North Coast region, you know, without some sort of comprehensive approach to groundwater management within an integrated water management framework. So what's interesting also is, you know, the governor is proposing that there be a state backstop. So this is the first time in California history where a governor has said there's a state role in limiting groundwater pumping to protect, to create sustainability in water resources. And so a lot of discussion is around that. What's the state's role if the locals are unable or unwilling to manage to minimum program standards? The State Water Board in October, as I've briefed you, released a groundwater concept paper, we called it. It was really a way to stimulate discussion about, you know, what are the minimum program elements of a sustainable groundwater management program at the local level. And, you know, therefore, if the state were to take some management role, you know, what would be the components of a program that a state approach would be. So it's the same in my mind. You know, it's the local program, if it's not able to be get off the ground, what would the state do? And so I probably went over those elements. I don't have to go into great detail, but there's just certain things like, you know, having funding, having authority to collect fees, to support a program, to do monitoring, to assess to certain standards that are very basin specific, those type of elements. Well, by the second workshop, there was a proposal that you can get on the web, on the World Wide Web, from AQUA, the California Water Agencies, also a proposal from the California Water Foundation, led by Lester Snow, who used to be the Resources Secretary and the head of Department of Water Resources. So there's an AQUA proposal, California Water Foundation proposal, and also some stakeholders from the Central Valley, the Valley Ag community, came forward with a proposal to amend AB 3030, which is the original, you know, the 1990s legislation establishing the requirements for groundwater management plans. But that was, you know, the first step that was giving locals authorities, but that has been criticized for its ability to, you know, do things like raise funds, manage and enforce standards and that sort of thing. So they had a concrete proposal from the agricultural community on how to strengthen AB 3030. So this is very productive discussions from folks from different sides of the issue. And, you know, we were really impressed. It was not just state board members that were listening, but, you know, governor's office, Department of Food and Agriculture, Secretary Karen Ross, Gary Bardini, and others from Department of Water Resources. So we were all up there listening to this discussion, which was very productive. So that folds in then to what may happen with budget trailer bill language coming up in June in terms of establishing new authorities for managing groundwater sustainably. And really the focus is arming local and regional entities with the tools and authorities they need to sustainably manage groundwater, with the state playing a backstop role. And that's as specific as I could really get at this time. But I thought it was worth maybe talking about a little bit. I'm very impressed by what I think is an evolution of dialogue on this issue, with really the interests of California citizens in mind for the long run. So now there is a drought. I know it rained a little today. Seems like any time I talk about drought, it's raining. But
just keep talking.
And just to give folks a sense, the board members, staff, and stakeholders out here, you know, we meet twice a month at the State Water Board, and this year, every time we meet, we get a drought update. And it's largely from the Division of Water Rights. And you might remember, it was my briefing in January this year. It was touch dramatic, you know. You remember that? You know, we have a drought, we have to hang together. Well, you know, back then, we were pretty scared. You know, we hadn't seen a drop of decent rain since, you know, for 13 odd months. And that's a new chapter in California hydrologic variability. It's just something we haven't seen before, and we're not greatly prepared for on the third year in a row of drought conditions. So it was very serious. There were 17 communities that the Department of Public Health had listed as potentially running out of water in 60 days at that time. And then this unusual hydrology this year, we did get rain and snow, not very much snow, that brought us into more of a critical category as the year has gone by, from, you know, beyond critical to critical. That's where we're at now. It's still very serious. The snowpack story in other regions of the state is dire. The San Joaquin region has got 16% of the average of snowpack as we face down a long dry summer. So we will see significant effects this year, especially in that part of the state. Well, I guess the good news is that the 17 communities has been whittled down to 2 communities, one of which is more groundwater dependent, and there's not a lot we can do other than work through our Office of Emergency Services to really help communities. And these are fairly small communities at this point. Don't want to minimize that, but there were North Coast communities that were on the brink even a few weeks ago in the Ukiah area. The Redwood Valley County Water District, I'm not sure if that's the right name, but they were working to try to secure water supplies for the summer. I think they're in better shape now. Last week, I saw Chair Corbett at a conference that I gave an update on the drought issues in the North Coast. It was a conference called Your Voice, Your Future. And it's held by the State Bar Association, the environmental law section of the State Bar. And so I talked about the Sonoma County Water Agency issues with Lake Mendocino, the temporary urgency change order that we issued and have amended for that system to basically change the rules a little bit to make sure that there's enough cold water for the system to support the anadromous fishery later in the summer and that sort of thing. The details just have to do with how you evaluate how much water you have. The index in the water right is based on Lake Pillsbury inflow, but a more operationally useful endpoint this year was the level of water in Lake Mendocino. So that's the substantive change that was made in terms of the water right as a result of this urgency need. So that's an ongoing issue. You know, the case of the city of Willits was interesting because they were at a what they call stage 5, the most critical level in terms of their water supply as of February. It's been downgraded, if you will, to stage 1, which is not critical at all. There was enough rain that had fallen and been caught in Lake Centennial and also other near-term infrastructure changes made where their situation is not dire at all. You know, it's actually back to almost normal, or at least to be able to get through the summer. So, you know, it's an interesting story. So, one thing I want to highlight, you know, a year ago, I remember Board Member Massey asked me, what's the State Board doing about the marijuana issue? And I said, well, not much. You remember that? Or nothing. And that was in May of 2013. Well, I just think it's worth noting in May of 2014 that the chief of the State Board's Office of Enforcement gave a half-hour talk on enforcing water quality law around marijuana cultivation. And it was very detailed. And one of the things, and then he was there on the dais with a really great technician from Department of Fish and Wildlife, Scott Bauer, who did a wonderful job of describing the challenges and the systemic issues with marijuana cultivation impacts, right? You've probably heard that talk. I was very impressed. So what I want to point out is that really in Chris Kerrigan's talk, he highlighted your approach, which and how really through the weight of State Water Board behind this regional water board in terms of using permits setting up a regulatory program, and which really then gets us to the point where we can enforce conditions on a more broad scale. This enforce case by case is a fool's errand if you think you're going to solve the problem that way. And by having a regulatory program in place, it really gives you the tools to at least start to get at more of the systemic wide issue. So we threw our full weight behind your innovation. I just want to highlight that. And so yeah, there's things happening finally at the state board. And another thing I want to highlight that's happening here at the regional board and our activities is the wetlands policy. You know, there's a lot of activity. There was a 401 audit, the water quality certification program statewide. Good findings there to help us do a better statewide program on wetlands regulation. This policy was originally directed to be developed in 2008. So there's been a lot of water under the bridge, as they say. But there has been active stakeholder processes to get the policy right, and our schedule is to have it before the State Water Board in September of this year. I don't know if it's going to happen, but you know, we're pushing as much as we can. So one thing I want to highlight is that one of the stakeholder groups that came to us were the folks that do restoration, the folks like Ducks Unlimited, Joint Ventures, and you know, the folks that want to make wetlands, or at least make them better. And they've brought really valid concerns about the process, the regulatory process for wetland permitting, and how it can, we can sometimes get in our own way in terms of burdening those who want to really make wetlands. And you know, we could extend this discussion not just to the NGOs, but certain local agencies that in their mission, they want to improve the ecosystem. So that's a valid issue, and one of the things your staff is working on is the restoration policy effort for the 401 program. And so I want to really encourage that. It's a logical outgrowth of these discussions we're having at the State Water Board, and that there's a home in the State Water Board's wetland policy for such restoration-focused policies at the regional level. But then I would also encourage going to the next step, which is maybe like a general order, or you know, some kind of a general permitting structure that we have for low threat fills now. It's an 06 order you might be familiar with. But I would encourage to build on your existing efforts in that arena. I think it is a good fit. It's a good model. And I think Fran Spivey Weber, my colleague, said that on this year's Water Quality Coordinating Committee, where all the regional boards and state board members get together, that wetlands is going to be on the agenda. And we're interested in learning about your experience in this arena. So another issue here, I think it's on your agenda today, so I don't want to go into too much detail. We've been approached by a lot of interested parties about the 303D listing issue and whether water bodies are impaired by lack of water, by flow, you would say. And I would like to just highlight in the WQCC, which I mentioned earlier, this subject came up a couple years ago, and Tom Howard affirmatively encouraged regional water boards to pursue in their triennial reviews of the basin plan to look at in their work plan if establishing water quality objectives for flow, for in-stream flow, is a priority through your triennial review process, that the State Water Board is supportive of those efforts. We are undertaking those efforts in the Bay Delta plan, the water quality control plan for the Bay Delta. So we have some experience with that. Our Division of Water Rights has a public trust section that works on the technical basis of flow objectives. And this is something that we encourage regional boards to take on in basin plans. And that, and you know, that's part of a system. So when you're determining whether something is impaired, you usually are evaluating it against a water quality objective, their data that you have, and whether you're meeting the water quality objective. Right now, you don't have water quality objectives for those water bodies that folks are petitioning to be listed as impaired. So there's from a system standpoint, not everything has been lined up and in place from a regulatory standpoint. So it's an awkward place to be. So I just want to acknowledge those efforts, that the state water board's paying attention to that issue. We want to empower regional boards to evaluate that in the context of all the other basin plan work you're doing. So I'm getting close to the end. It's time for legislation. You know, everyone in the state is interested in the water bond discussion. In fact, everyone in the state thinks the water bonds, well, not everyone, but folks think it's going to solve all the problems and that sort of thing. Well, it's everything to everyone. Well, the last I heard, there's 7 to 10 versions of the water bond floating around the Capitol. But there is one that we're paying most close attention to, which is AB 1331. From Assemblymember Rendon, and I've provided myself some detailed comments on that back in February. I'm always interested in supporting integrated water management efforts, and so there's a lot in there for that. I think $750 million statewide right now, but that's just a number that can change. So that's something to keep an eye on. You may know this, but The time's almost up on this. The legislature has to adopt something this month or next month for it to qualify to be on the November ballot. So this is getting right up to the very 11th hour. And if I don't know how it all works exactly, but there is an existing water bond that folks call stale because it's a few years old. Some have called it ancient. And I think it had a $14 billion number. So there's some kind of default process that it just ends up on the ballot if the legislature's not able to reckon with updating it. So this is an interesting thing to observe. We'll see if the pressure, the deadline, will force some good action. I'll remain optimistic. So the trailer bill issue this year is really unprecedented, I think, from a state board standpoint. There is a lot on the table. I've briefed you on the drinking water program transfer and the SRF, safe drinking water SRF going into the clean water SRF. And that's still very much in the governor's proposal. That involves 290 people, 290 positions that move from drinking water in public health department over to the water board. As I've told you, that's, the system works in most cases throughout the state. We're not going to mess with it. We're going to have the same type of administrative process in place. But now we're going to have that under the same organization from source of the drinking water to the tap, where people turn on the faucet. Now you have one state agency that is responsible for that. And I think that will align issues better and make us more efficient to take on sort of the 2% of people, which is a lot. 2% of 38 million people is a lot. But those places where we really have significant challenges to get people safe drinking water. So that's in the trailer bill. Also 10 positions to deal with this groundwater issue I briefed you on for unmanaged, unsustainable groundwater pumping. That might be more concentrated in the state water board. But there is 11 positions and $1.8 million to fund a joint proposal with Department of Fish and Wildlife for marijuana cultivation. So on that one, I would suspect it would be weighted more toward here, this region, and Central Valley region, and places where it's more of an acute issue. That's 11 positions. 14 positions for the hydraulic fracturing or fracking issue, setting up the program to have kind of an early warning system if there's issues related to water quality impairment. That's not as much of an issue in this region. 12 positions into the surface water monitoring program, SWAMP. What used to be contract positions, now they're being brought into the regional boards and the state board. And then finally, 10 positions for 401, the wetlands program. So that would probably be about one per region, that sort of thing. So that's a lot of action, in terms of the water boards getting resources. Someone say, well, now the water boards are taking over. I don't think you need to worry about that with one new position in the wetland program. It sounds like a lot, but you know, I hear it from both sides. You all need to ask for more resources, and then you know, if we get more resources, we're somehow going to take over. It's never of that magnitude. It's incremental improvement. So, I've gone on and on. I appreciate the time to brief you on these things. I hope I covered issues of your interest to you, and feel free to ask me any questions.
Board members?
Mr. Chair.
Careful, last time you asked about marijuana, it actually happened.
Be careful while you read it, too.
Yeah. Ask the good questions.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Particularly, I heard Mr. Tom Howard 2 years ago say that you, and it almost knocked me off my chair, at a WQCC, he said you could regulate flow for water quality. And I understand that, but do we have any case around the state where that has actually been done yet? Because I'm sure that whoever gets to do it first, excuse me, is going to have, you're going to grab a tiger by the tail.
Yes, we do. Like I said, in the Bay Delta case, we have flow limits, and it's the biggest tiger you can grab in the state. It's the Bureau of Reclamation, you know, and another huge tiger, the Department of Water Resources and all their contractors. So the state board undertakes those things. I think the history story here is that, you know, my predecessors the management has said that water quantity is the state board's job. The regional board's job is water quality.
Right.
Well, but water quality is affected by water quantity. Yes, but we'll get to that. Well, folks, we're there. We've gotten to that.
Okay.
You know, this state has to deal with it, because it comes up in our TMDL programs. You know, there are numeric targets within your TMDLs that you've adopted that relate to in-stream flow.
We have some. We did one in the first in this.
You know, and actually in the Bay Area, my experience, Napa River sediments, you know, the water quantity issue is integrated into those technical science-based analyses. So we're there. And it's just a matter of working collaboratively with the stakeholders to come up with in-stream flows that are scientifically based, that will create sustainability for communities and the ecosystem. And that's an outgrowth of, you know, the legislature's vision for the Delta is co-equal goals. You know, we want water supply reliability and ecosystem protection. We want both, and we can achieve both, but it takes work and it takes collaboration.
And Judge Roby has upheld this in court decisions too.
Okay, I'm certainly aware of it in our Klamath TMDL. With cold water refugia, I just am a little leery, because it is something that I'll let Mikey do it first.
And yet, you know, our Division of Water Rights has worked with your staff here in this region, you know, to deal with those multi-objective challenges. We'll continue to. The North Coast region is higher on the list for in-stream flow work than other regions. I got news for you. You are Mikey. But we're not going to leave you out in the cold. You know.
Okay.
Thank you. And also, you know, just really highlight that this is a collaborative approach. You know, the locals know the information. They live there. They know their watershed. They're going to help inform whatever the state ends up saying is what the rules are. It has to be based on local collaboration.
Thank you.
Other board members? Well, I had just a couple on the marijuana. I did want to say it was really refreshing to hear Chris Kerrigan and his enforcement perspective. And when we started out, we had, I thought, very different views, and now I think we are aligned. Of course, now we got to produce the product here to fit the policy, but a tremendous response of support. Regarding groundwater, I sound like a broken record, but I'm going to compliment the governor and the state board for having the vision and the courage and the steadfastness to raise the issue without necessarily getting legislative benefits of coverage. And it has changed the debate, and California is the last in the nation to do groundwater. And I think this is going to be looked on as one of the most historic eras in California water law that's going to evolve, and I just appreciate you raising it, because we have to prevent overdrafting and some serious problems. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to thank you again for that.
Thank you.
Thanks, gentlemen. Look forward to the next time. Thank you.
I will just make a very few comments as board chair. You got a lot of the themes from our state board member. Probably the biggest thing that I don't see us doing as much as a lot of the other regions is in wetlands restoration. They're very actively involved, and so I think that's something I'm going to want to look at and see whether it fits our area and whether we need to look at that as a priority. I did want to say that the new WQCC, we will be asked to make a presentation a little bit on the Scott and the Shasta and groundwater issues there. And we will also be making a presentation on restoration. Again, that's one where we got to get a product to meet the talk out in the public arena. At the same conference Steve was at, I Meg Caldwell from Stanford University, law professor and very high up in ocean matters is about the best way to put it, had a whole pamphlet for regional board actions to implement marine measures regarding acidification, marine measures regarding rising sea levels. I skimmed through it, and we may or may not write a letter to her, but the good news is I thought we're doing a pretty darn good job. We sort of are on the same wavelength. So I thought that was important. And one last thing, I just think the relations right now with the state board are the best they've been since I've been on the regional board, and that obviously takes work on our part and work on the state's part, and I thought that was going good. So that's what I wanted to report. Does the executive officer have anything?
I do.
Okay.
So I'll give my executive officer's report now as opposed to at the end of the meeting.
Well, it's on the agenda. You can take it.
I will. Yeah, right. Just a couple of things I wanted to update you on. First of all, to let you know that I've been working with George Gentry, Executive Director of the Board of Forestry, to plan the content for a joint workshop between our board and board members of the Board of Forestry. So we can look forward to that sometime late summer or fall. I wanted to also, the drought is definitely affecting the work of our staff, and wanted to just highlight a couple of things that are going on related to the drought within the North Coast region. The Division of Water Rights has sent a letter to some of the water right holders in the Scott River Valley, alerting them of the likelihood of having their water rights curtailed this coming season. So no curtailment letters have gone out yet to any water users in the North Coast region, but has certainly happened in other parts of the state. What a curtailment notice means essentially is that that the water right holder is being put on notice that there's not enough water for them to exercise their water right. But I think that there's a strong likelihood that water right holders in the Scott Valley, as well as the Russian River above Healdsburg and the middle fork of the Eel River, that water users will likely get curtailment notices this year. Mr. Moore mentioned working with some communities that are in dire situation of running out of water supplies, and the town of Montague in the Shasta River Valley is one of those communities. And my staff is working closely with the Montague Water Conservation District, as well as with the Division of Water Rights, to look at some emergency actions to get water supply to the town of Montague So the proposal is to send more water from Lake Shastina down the Shasta River, both to support fisheries as well as for water supply for the city of Montague. Mr. Moore mentioned the increased demand for recycled water, and within our region, we have been working with the city of Healdsburg, and within the last week, I signed two letters approving the use of the city of Healdsburg's recycled water for a truck hauling program to take water for vineyards. So we worked with the city to develop a user agreement to have in place with the vineyards, the end users, to ensure that the water is applied at agronomic rates and to that BMPs are implemented to ensure that there's no runoff and impact to groundwater. We've also issued orders allowing for the use of recycled water for dust control and other construction-related activities. Another drought-related issue related to water use that's been getting attention is the incredible amount of water that's used for dust control on timber roads. And in this time of drought, we are working closely with CAL FIRE, as well as the timber industry representatives, and again, the Division of Water Rights, to look at alternatives to surface water diversion for getting the water for dust control. So looking at some alternative methods, and Jim Burke is leading a committee with CAL FIRE to work on that issue. So that's some highlights around drought-related activities that we're working on. I also wanted to echo some things related to what we're doing regarding the waste discharges from marijuana cultivation operations. At the chairs meeting that Mr. Corbett and I attended in early April, we heard from the undersecretary at Cal EPA, as well as representatives from the governor's office, that the governor's office is asking that the state have a coordinated approach to addressing the environmental impacts from marijuana cultivation. And they, frankly, everybody's looking to us to develop a regulatory program. So one of the things that I wanted to report to you is that Diana Henriol and Samantha Olson of our staff are working hard to develop a waste discharge requirement permit addressing discharges from marijuana cultivation operations. And I'm pleased to say that we're on track to bring something to you this calendar year. So we're developing this WDR to be kind of a tiered program. It's going to set established conditions related largely to erosion control, but also management of fertilizers and pesticides. And we'll, due to the scale of this activity, we're writing it such that it's going to essentially be able to be self-implementing for those operators that want to comply with the environmental laws. It'll identify the types of management practices that they need to implement to protect water quality, but it'll be setting those thresholds so that those operators that are not practicing in ways to protect water quality will be able to take strict and deliberate enforcement actions against them. And then, as I've mentioned to you before, with regard to our general approach to marijuana cultivation, the third leg to the stool, in addition to regulation and enforcement, is outreach and education. And we've, as I've reported before, we were successful in getting cleanup and abatement account funds from the state board. Thank you, Mr. Moore. for an outreach, monitoring and an outreach and education program associated with water conservation practices and pollution prevention for marijuana cultivation. We now have a contract executed with the Marin County Resource Mendocino County Resource Conservation District to develop a BMP guide related to those operations, and we're working hard to get a contract approved with the Eel River Recovery Project for monitoring as well as outreach and education. So we're hopeful that that contract will be in place this summer. I'm happy to take any of your questions. I'll also point out that there's a couple of great articles in the written EO report. We were very successful this round of 319H contracts, grants, and there's some summaries of the different contracts in there. And if you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer them.
Mr. Chair, though it's a small thing, perhaps it is for, I think, many of us a very large thing, and I want to thank our executive officer for giving us a three-month forecast of what it is that we will be dealing with. It sounds kind of silly, but we have never before gone a time frame beyond the next meeting. And so it is very, very refreshing, and you are to be commended for giving us a much better time horizon for issues that will be coming. So it is nice to be able to say, okay, at the July meeting, this is where we're going to get this. It is truly useful, and thank you very much, Mr. St. John.
You're welcome. Any other board comments? I just had one. I thought we've come a long way and navigated very well on the marijuana issue. We were starting on it. There was some unease in Sacramento at the state board level. Then you had the blow up because of the Central Valley Board. I think they made some missteps that I've seen many times by others do over the years, but it got in the press and that got the governor's office concerned. And so we've taken from a concern in the North Coast going forward to that we ought to be a leader or an active participant in that. And that's a nice, successful dance, I must say, with the parties in that. Of course, that does put the responsibility on us in getting a product. Now that we've danced so well, promised so much, we better get the product. But I do want to say I think that takes some skill in the executive officer to be able to take a good thing that was being questioned into being a good thing that's supported. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Public forum.